Home Affairs Minister Peter Dutton announced this week that Australia will negotiate a new data-sharing agreement with the United States. The deal is known as the Cloud Act, but it's already hit a snag with the chairman of the powerful House Judiciary Committee in the US questioning whether Australia's encryption laws may disqualify it. Ariel Bogle is the ABC technology reporter. Hi, Ariel.
Good morning, Cathy.
Let's start with the Cloud Act. What is it?
So the Cloud Act, I won't go through the full acronym, is a piece of US legislation that allows close partners with the United States to make these special deals. It's essentially, it allows police or intelligence agencies from either country to more quickly obtain data from technology companies, you know, Facebook, Microsoft, Google, for example, in the course of an investigation. So there are treaties that currently allow police in Australia to go to the FBI, say, in the United States and ask for data, but it's a slow process, and this is aimed at really speeding that up.
So let's go to those concerns that have been expressed by House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler. Is there substance to it?
Well, it's a very substantive letter. Essentially, this letter from Jerry Nadler is to Peter Dutton and just raises some concerns about the encryption laws that were passed here in Australia at the end of 2018. And so he points out that the Cloud Act requires its partners to have robust, substantive and procedural protections for privacy and civil liberties. And he points out the encryption laws that were passed last year, which allows police to go to companies and ask them to provide assistance to get access to data or even to make technical changes to their platforms in order to get access to that data, is available without judicial review. Essentially, you don't need, the police don't need a warrant to go to, say, Facebook and demand them to make a technical change to their platform. But they do, of course, need a warrant to get at the data in the end. But he pointed out these concerns may scuttle the deal, and it is important that the Judiciary Committee believe Australia is, a worthy partner under the rules of the Cloud Act, because they do have a lot of sway in what deals get made here.
So those concerns, of course, aren't new. They were raised by the likes of the Law Council before the encryption law was passed last year. Are we likely to see a scenario where the US concerns may, in fact, lead to an amendment?
Yeah, I've certainly heard that discussed around Canberra in recent weeks. Will Australia need to amend its encryption legislation to get this deal with the US across the line? And as you mentioned, during the process of passing these laws, these concerns were raised. They were flagged by the Law Council, by others. The Shadow Attorney General, Mark Dreyfus, raised this when the bill was debated in Parliament, particularly that issue around judicial oversight. Would that make us disqualify us essentially from the Cloud Act? But of course, Labor went into the election with a commitment to introduce judicial oversight. Of course, they didn't win the election and the bill was passed.
Okay. Ariel Bogle, let's go to another story. The gaming giant Blizzard Entertainment suspended a Hong Kong-based player of an online gamer. He expressed support for pro-democracy protesters during an interview. What was it that led to the suspension exactly?
So to give some background here, this man, he goes by the gaming name Blitzchung. His name is Ngwai Chung. He lives in Hong Kong. He's a player of Hearthstone, as you mentioned, which is an online card game. And he was being interviewed post a match. And during that, he said something like liberate Hong Kong and made other statements in favour of the protests that have been going on for many months now in Hong Kong. Post that, the Blizzard, which owns this game, came out and suspended him essentially for 1 year, rescinded his prize money, and really said in a statement that the justification really was that he had brought the game into disrepute, that he had essentially damaged Blizzard's reputation. And of course, a lot of companies, Blizzard is not the only one, do not want to offend China or Chinese citizens because they are, you know, huge brands and very popular in that country. But there has been a backlash.
What has that response been then?
Well, this has really escalated. Even in the United States, senators on both sides of the aisle have commented on this. Senator Ron Wyden, who's a Democrat, and Senator Mark Rubio have commented on the suspension of this player. Ron Wyden said that in a tweet, "No American should censor calls for freedom to get a quick buck," which is a pretty strong statement. And we're still waiting to hear more from Blizzard about this decision. I reached out for comment but haven't managed to get anything out of them for the present. But it really shows how complex it's going to be for these companies like Blizzard, which have players all over the world, in China, outside China, and whether a speech by the players who are semi-professional, almost on the level of sports stars in football leagues, should be able to say what they like during gameplay or in post-interviews.
So, I mean, this is, goes right to the heart of free speech. What about the response from other players? Has there been any backlash?
Yes, absolutely. So on Reddit, which is the sort of messaging website, the Blizzard forum has really been overrun. I think it even got shut down at one point. A lot of players have expressed their dismay with Blizzard's decision here. Some have said they won't play their games anymore. Some are trying some other forms of disobedience, I suppose, and making videos with the main characters from some of Blizzard's games, made from Overwatch, which is a very popular game, for example. Some people have made a video of her expressing pro-Hong Kong statements too. So it's a very complex scenario for Blizzard that's really escalated from what was just a simple suspension, but complex suspension of one player, to almost an international incident at this point.
Mm. And of course, you know, gaming companies have players all over the world. How exposed are they given this particular incident?
I think they are very exposed, and I think that's something they're going to have to think about in much more detail. And this is not the only story like this week. The NBA, the basketball league in the United States, has also been in hot water. One of the general managers of its teams, the Houston Rockets, also tweeted something expressing sentiments that were pro-Hong Kong. He deleted the tweet, but that has already gained a response from China. There has been some noise about banning NBA games in China. Of course, we have yet to see that play out because basketball and the NBA is extremely popular in China. But it shows the complexity of the situation for brands that are trying to enter the Chinese market and how access to Chinese consumers can essentially be weaponized.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much. Always a pleasure to talk to you, Ariel.
Thank you, Kathy.
Ariel Bogle is the technology reporter with ABC Science.